as we've been saying for the past month, we can't come to church as usual without a renewed mind, without expecting God to move and then believe that He's going to move. God doesn't move just by happenstance. He moves when His people come under one accord, under one mind. That makes practical sense, right, church? And what I'm doing here is I want to teach us through what the spiritual moment is so that we can really understand how God wants to move. When we renew our mind in Him, what does that look like? It means that we don't worry about our family. We don't worry about our job. We don't worry about our finances. We don't worry about what time church is going to end. We don't worry about what time the preacher is going to speak. We don't worry about the sickness in our body. But all we do is we say, God, we lay that all to your feet, but I just want to focus on you. All I want to do is focus on you and how you want to move and how you want to act. So when we say renew my mind, it's meaning that we're laying aside everything else. And God, you're making it new. Because all I'm doing is focusing on you. Give me a fresh slate, a fresh mind. One that's not burdened, one that's not feeling heavy. But as I focus on you, when I look to you, when I read your word and when I pray, I feel as though I can walk in confidence. I feel like I can be in the midst of the hardest time of my life, but I'm walking in confidence. Why? Because I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at the report. I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at the news and what the news tells me. It's for freedom that He set us free. So we might as well walk in it. We might as well think in it. The enemy is the one who wants to have our mind bogged down so he gets us to stay still. Because if he really knew, because he knew, if we really knew who we were, how much boldness, how much strength, we could be walk and talk with Jesus daily. The fullness of Jesus. Remember, the place that surpasses our knowledge is the place where we meet Jesus and we just look to Him. And He may lead us to some things that are weird. He may lead us to some things that are scary to our flesh. But He says that's when you'll experience His fullness. That's when you will experience His fullness. See, the devil knew when Jesus went out for 40 days and 40 nights and he tempted Jesus. And we talked about this yesterday at men's Bible study. He knew if he could get Jesus just to take the kingdom right then and there as the flesh expected them to be. Because remember, the Jews, I'm about to start teaching here in just one moment. Let me do that for just, can I do that for just one moment? Before I start preaching, can I just teach for just a moment? Just one. Yep, he's like, okay, let me sit down for this. That's all right. And we'll still stay in this atmosphere. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you don't, you don't have to. For freedom that he set us free. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus went out to the wilderness and the enemy went and tempted him. He tempted him. He said, turn this rock into this stone into bread. He said, man, and Jesus replies with scripture. He says, man must not eat by bread alone, but by every word that comes from my Father. Next thing, come jump off of this cliff. And you know God will send all of these angels for you. No, I'm not going to tempt my God. Last thing, he shows them all of the earth. He says, you are the Son of God. You are the King. Walk in your authority. All of this can be yours right now. And in the flesh, that sounds good if Jesus would have took up his kingdom in the way that everybody wanted him to. In the way that his flesh would have wanted him to. Jesus would have became the king and the ruler. He would have established his throne, his kingdom, overthrew the Roman empires. He would have, could have allowed angel armies to empower the people. He could have lived his life, died, and then went to heaven and lived with his Father forever. And that's what Satan wanted him to do. Go ahead, you can have this time. You can have your glory in this moment right now. Have your kingdom. That's okay. Because how many of us know Satan plays the long game? He plays the longevity game. I'll give you your 70, 80 years. I'll give you your 90 years on this earth. Go ahead, take the kingdom. You die, you go back up with your Father. Everything will be good. Jesus says no. That's what the flesh would want me to do. That's what my people would want me to do. But my kingdom goes beyond the flesh. My kingdom goes beyond the lifespan in a human's life. And I need to show a kingdom that goes beyond your limits and my limits. Is this making sense? You staying with me? So Jesus had to trust in the Spirit and God's word in order for him to fulfill his purpose. So as many thought when Jesus was on the cross, dying, they thought that this was the end of the Messiah and his reign. This is the end of the kingdom. This was the King of Kings that's supposed to come. This is the one that healed and did all of the miracles. Now, he's dead. That's what the flesh thought. But why the flesh was thinking God was going to the gates of hell, busting through Hades, gathering all those who have come before him, letting them know who he was, the Messiah that has come that you weren't able to experience. And throughout these 3 days, he conquered death and he rose again. But now, not only is he conquering a fleshly kingdom, he conquered the spiritual kingdom as well, which lasts forever and ever. But had he have followed the first temptation, his reign would have only been a short stint of a lifetime. Renewing your mind and understanding your call allows you to live a life that goes beyond your lifetime. Walking in your purpose and renewing your mind and listening to God on a daily is what leaves a spiritual legacy. It's making sense, church. So when Jesus tells us to renew our mind, he's not telling us just to renew our mind for the sake of renewing our mind to get through the day, but he's saying the way that you live your life right now is going to be the same gifts and blessings that you can pass on to your children and your children's children and your children's children. Because only what you do for me, Jesus, with a renewed mind will last. I don't care how much you have in your 401k. I don't care what the best job that you've had. I don't care what if you had the best networking skills. I don't care what projects you've had. But only what you do for me will last. So renew your mind. Be holy because I am holy. He covers the inefficiencies, but when we renew our mind, he calls us holy. Why? Because we walk with him. If you're walking with Jesus, he's so much more powerful than everything. Darkness can't even come into the light. Darkness can't even come. That should make somebody want to show. Darkness can't even come into the light. Darkness is only the absence of light. So if it's Jesus is with you and you've renewed your mind, it can't be here. You got to go away. God reveals it to you. Oh, that's a word. Okay, go ahead, sit down. Let me just start teaching. Can somebody help me grab this podium real fast? God, I'm just going to pray real fast. God, I just pray over this word that you have for us today. I thank you for the word that you've given us in renewing our mind. I thank you for that gift that you've given that wasn't even prepared for today. But I ask that now that... Oh, man, I didn't even grab my own Bible, so now I still got to go. Rookie. But God, I'm just asking that you continue just to bless us and allow your spirit to speak today. To speak and to move through us, all of us. God, I'm thankful for what you have given me in this church and with this platform. But God, I give it back to you and asking that whatever I say is just a reflection of your words. But it's a true reflection of your word. Nothing that comes from me, nothing that comes from my flesh, nothing that comes from just a feeling, God, but that truly comes from your transforming power of your word. And I ask you for all these things. Amen. So I'm going to start us off today in Mark chapter 9. Our men are going through a men's Bible study. It's happening on Saturday morning, starts at 9. They're going through the book of Mark, and I got to go in yesterday and listen to my brothers speak, and I was so moved that I had to put this into my message today, and the Lord just shifted my whole mind on this Palm Sunday. I'm going to be starting off at Mark chapter 9. Verses 17 through 29. Now, I'm going to be reading God's word because I think his word is so much better than what I speak to you. So the only thing I ask when I read his word is that we don't allow ourselves to drift into wonder. Where's all my wanderers and drifters right now? Just go ahead and raise your hand. All right, pray over those people who rose their hand, guys. Don't allow their mind to drift, Jesus. Holy Spirit, keep us focused, as my brother Jake said, because his word, it never comes back void, right? His word never comes back void. What JD can come back, it can be void. It can be empty as whatever. I don't care. But his word that is spoken forth, if we can just focus on it, it transforms things. You believe that? The Bible says when we agree, we say amen. Amen? Amen. So Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. And it says, and someone from the crowd answered him. This is talking to Jesus. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, he throws himself down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them. This is Jesus answered them. He says, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately he convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. So let me set the scene. Jesus has been doing all types of miracles. And Jesus has come into the city, and people are surrounding him. And a man who has this son, who's had this demon, let's call it for what it is. Hey, guys, guess what? Today, when there were demons back then, there's still demons today. They ain't gone nowhere. They just hide a little bit better now, okay? They hide through things. They call them bipolar and all these other things that God didn't create for us to have and all that, that we can ask the Lord to take away from us. And I understand that we talk about the medical field and all that, but my God is a restorer and a great physician. Amen. And sometimes we accept certain things and we accept certain conditions and we don't believe God that he can break through. Well, this is what science says, but what does God say? Okay? I'm not trying to be all controversial or anything like that. I'm just standing on what the Word of God says. I believe that the same people that were in the Bible, there's nothing new under the sun. They had the same conditions that we did. Same thing. They just called it what it was back then. Because this is what it is. God didn't make you to be sick. He didn't make you to be hurt. He didn't make you for those things. No, this isn't just about prosperity or anything like that. But we have to start walking and believing in the God who restores and heals. Amen. There's somebody who wants deliverance from that thing. We can't be a church that just says science says this is a chronic condition. No, God says that he can heal you and restore you from that. There's a whole nother message that I didn't want to get into, but this is, I guess, what the Lord needed me to say today. So, all these people are gathering around. Jesus has been healing people and restoring people, giving people hope. So this man who's had a son who, when he just falls out and he has seizures and he starts to foam at the mouth and he stops speaking, he becomes mute. And these followers of Jesus says that it was his disciples. The man said, your disciples have come, the people who have even come in your name. They have tried to cast out the spirit or tried to rectify this illness, but it hasn't worked. And then Jesus is looking at his disciples. He doesn't even address the man. He addresses his disciples. He addresses his children. And what does he say? And he answered them, and he says, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. I love, like, the flexing Jesus. The Jesus that flexes. How long am I supposed to be with you? Bring him over here. Like, I love when Jesus flexes. Like, oh, my God. Right? Oh, where are we at? And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, it said immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled out, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father. Jesus is so calm. He's just looking at him. How long has he been this way? Boy, just on the ground. Right? How long has he been this way? Think about the calmness, the authority that Jesus lived in. Some of us right there is like, this is too much for me. He needs a doctor. Now, I'm all for it. You can call the ambulance or whatever you need to do. But in between time, how about we have the authority of Jesus and believe that he's the healer and the restorer? I'm trying to just be real practical here. Is that okay? I'm praying I'm not offending anyone today. Like I said, if it's from me, I got to ask that it goes away. But if it's from your word, allow it to stick. And Jesus asked, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, he's talking to Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And here comes Jesus flexing again. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Let's not miss this moment. All things are possible for only Jesus in this moment. Was it just Jesus, the only one who could do it? He actually trained his disciples up. He said, I'm not baptizing anybody because if I baptize people, they're going to think that they need to be baptized by Jesus. I'll give you the authority to baptize people in my name. How about that? What is he saying to his disciples? Oh, faithless generation. Oh, those who don't believe. There's unbelief in there. There's skepticism in there. There's doubt in there. But this is what I love about this story. I get so excited about the Word of God. I can jump up and down because it just excites me. Because when you're desperate enough, you're not afraid of your doubt. You're not afraid of the skepticism. This man is saying, I hear all that, Jesus. I hear you talking about your disciples. I feel you in that. Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. But it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe that this man started speaking over Jesus before he can be done. All those who believe, but Jesus, listen, I hear what you're saying. I believe, but help my unbelief. Like, what type of boldness did this take, this man, him looking to Jesus, and Jesus is calling, faithless generation. He could have been intimidated by that. He's talking, these are people that's following you, Jesus, and you're calling them a faithless generation. You want the God of miracles, but you don't want the God of correction. No, he didn't feel that way. He was desperate. His son was on the ground convulsing, foaming at the mouth, and he's crying out to God. God, I understand that those who believe, and I believe, but help my unbelief. How many of us are in a moment right now where you feel like life is just convulsing, foaming at the mouth? You don't even know the next thing. You're desperate enough to be real before God. Say, God, I believe, but there's some doubt in there. There's some unbelief in there. And I'm willing to step out of the darkness and into the light and ask that you show me my unbelief. Teach me. Show me how to believe in you. It's the cry of a father. It's the cry of desperation. Church, where is our cry of desperation? If there's something that's been bothering you since childbirth, have you cried out to him and said, God, you know what? I've been doing this Christian thing for a long time, and this thing is still plaguing me. I believe, but there's something in me that has unbelief. There's still something that's keeping me in the dark. It says, and when Jesus saw that a crowd had come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Never enter him again. Did you guys understand that the Bible says that we can allow God to heal us and restore us from an addiction? From something that's hard in life. God can restore you. And he says, you can walk a life. But if you are to fall away, be aware that there will be seven more spirits that came that's even harsher than the last ones that came. Yeah. This is the Bible. This is what the Bible says. But I love in this moment, when the man cried out for his son, Jesus, when he stood in the midst, when Jesus is there, there is light. When Jesus is there, there is no darkness. And it was by the name of Jesus. He says, I want you to leave this man. I don't care what happens in the future. Never come back to him again. You mute and deaf spirit. I need that type of authority in my life. I need that type of word in my life to believe that the things that used to plague me will never plague me again. Even when it seems like a glimpse of it wants to come back in, that's not me. He told me it'll never enter me again. It'll never plague me again. I've encountered the one and true Jesus. He's my restorer. He's my keeper. He's my healer. No longer do I need to walk in the darkness. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him pridefully, Lord, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out only by prayer. And in the King James Version, I don't know why they omitted out of this one, but it said, it only comes out by prayer and fasting. Yes, sir. There's a preparation to this thing. Aren't we so glad that Jesus prepared for that young boy? But what happens when Jesus has called us to be the preparers? Hands and feet, right? That's what we're called, right? Jesus, the miracle worker. What happens when he calls us to be the miracle workers? Because he could have established his kingdom, right? Remember what we talked about earlier? And everybody could have went to Jesus and looked to Jesus for healing. But his kingdom was not of this world. So he had to understand there needs to be authority that goes beyond this place that not only I have access to, but I'm going to bring to you a comforter called the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you the same authority and power that I'm operating in right now. And I'm going to make it, we're going to fast forward to Mark 11. But between leading up to Mark 11, there's over 30 sets of miracles that Jesus has done. Think about that. I'm going to list some of them off. Is it okay if I can just take my time a little bit, church, like with this? Is it all right? It's like, Pastor, why are you always asking for permission? Because we in it together, right? All right. Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding. Jesus heals an official's son at Capernaum in Galilee. Jesus drives out an evil spirit from a man in Capernaum. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus loves mother-in-laws. Fred, he loves you. Shelly Jean, he loves you. Jesus is healing mother-in-laws. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, let's go. Jesus heals many sick and oppressed. Not just one, but he heals many sick and oppressed. First miraculous catch of fish on the lake in Gennesaret. Jesus cleanses a man with leprosy. Jesus heals a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum. Jesus heals a paralytic who has let down from the roof. Jesus heals a man withered hand at the Sabbath. Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead in Nain. Jesus calms the storm. Even the wind and the rain obeys him, right? Jesus raises Jairus' daughter back to life. If Lazarus wasn't the only one raised from the dead, Jesus wasn't the only one. Jairus' daughter was too. Jesus heals two blind men. Jesus heals a man who was unable to speak. Jesus heals an invalid at Bethsaida. Jesus feeds 5,000 plus women and children. Jesus walks on water. Jesus heals many sick. And once again, he's healing many. Who knows what those diseases was? It just says that he healed many. Jesus heals a man born blind by spitting in his eyes. What? It's crazy, but it's Jesus. Miraculous temple tax in a fish's mouth. Jesus heals a blind, mute demoniac. Jesus heals a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. Jesus heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus raises Lazarus from the death at Bethany. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. He's doing miracles. He's doing all types of stuff at this time. Jesus is being known as this rabbi as a healer, a miracle worker, a restorer. So no wonder the man came up to Jesus and was asking him to restore his son. There's crowds that are following. Pharisees are coming from Jerusalem, wherever Jesus is, just to see what he's doing. And that's why we see ourselves in Mark 11, or what brings us here today on Palm Sunday. All of these crowds of people are coming for Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, the one who can work on my behalf. Jesus, the one that can bring me all the good things in my life. Let me go to this man that can provide me with something. What can I get from Jesus? Mark 11, verses 7 through 11, it says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road. So Jesus is walking into Jerusalem. And this is called the Great Triumphant Entry, where they thought a king would normally come in on a horse and great chariots. Jesus just asked for a random person's colt. He says, I'll come in humbly. And he comes riding on this little donkey type thing. I'm not a farmer or whatever. I can't even really picture what this colt looked like. But you can imagine Jesus coming on this little donkey colt like thing coming. And because of the miracles that he's done, there's like, I don't care what he looks like. I don't care in what framework was in my mind before. I know this man can do miracles. I am going to lay palms at his feet. This is the triumphant entry. This is the Messiah. This is the rabbi. And this is what they shouted out. It says, when those went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Now let's get the picture that's in their mind. We're about to overthrow the Roman Empire. We're about to become the newest people of the world because Jesus, our King, our Messiah, is here. He's going to operate in the way that we want him to operate. He's going to do what we want him to do because once again, he is the God of miracles. He's the master of miracles. He's the King of miracles. Let's see what else he can do. Hosanna. Ooh, it's easy to praise God when he's doing the good things for you. Blessed are you. The Pharisees are saying, be quiet, but no, Jesus said, even the rocks will cry out to me. Living on the high of Jesus, on the sensations of his miracles and all the things that he can do. He said, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. And he entered into Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it already was late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, hindsight is 20/20. We have the luxury of understanding that these people in Jerusalem would have been the same people in Jerusalem that would have happened what happens next week on Friday when Jesus is up there wanting to be petitioned to be set free. They're yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Free Barabbas. Wait, weren't these... Where are the people that were just yelling out Hosanna and laying their cloaks and palms at the feet of Jesus? Where are they at? Surely these people who followed him from all over to gain their healings has now followed Jesus to this trial, this Messiah. But the people who were yelling Hosanna, could they have been the very same people that's yelling crucify him and free Barabbas? Or the people who were yelling Hosanna, have they now been quieted out of the fear of life? And although they may have been there, they couldn't yell out Hosanna. What has happened between the triumphant entry and a week later, just a week later? Just a week later. What happened in between that time? To where now you're saying free Barabbas and crucify him. I'll tell you what happened. Unbelief and darkness. Unbelief, church, and what else? See, this crowd could have postured themselves like the man of the sick son who was convulsing and foaming at the mouth. I believe that this crowd needed to be the same crowd that said, Lord, I believe, Hosanna, but there's still something in me, so help my unbelief. Because this is the same crowd as after Jesus has now came in on the triumphant entry. Guess where he went? He went to the temple where he saw that people were buying and selling in the Lord's house where people were supposed to be worshiping and selling. And this Jesus that they were yelling, Hosanna and praise be to you, this awesome Jesus. Now they see the same Jesus with the whip and flipping tables in the middle of the temple. And they're like, hold on, hold on, hold on, King. Hold on, King. This is not what we was expecting. You were supposed to let us do our own thing. This wasn't what I was expecting. This isn't the miraculous man I was believing. I just needed you to heal me, and I wanted to do life as normal. I'm not wanting to accept the God of miracles, but I don't know about the God of correction. I don't know about this God who reveals indeficiency in my life. And that the devil wants you to think that when God reveals an indeficiency in your life, that you've taken a step backwards. No, he's just letting you see something that you couldn't see before because now Jesus has came into the mix. Thank God now that you can see the trial. Thank God now that you can see the temptation. Because before you were just walking happily mind, just living in sin. But now Jesus is allowing you to see the things in your life that's not of him. He's allowing you to walk in the light. He's not saying you went back into the darkness like you got sucked back up into the darkness. He's like, no, because you're walking into the light, you can see it. Get rid of it. Go and sin no more. We don't serve a yo-yo Jesus. He don't put you out there and bring you back, put you out there, bring you back. No, he's a God of reveal. Lord, I believe is what the crowd should be saying. But help my unbelief. Let me get a little closer. Let me get a little understanding. You flipping tables? Why are you flipping tables? Jesus, tell me, what's wrong? What's going on here? You healing people's hands on the Sabbath? We didn't do that, but tell me, you just healed this man's hand. That's got to be of God. What have we been doing that's wrong? Lord, help me. Help me see this unbelief that's been working in my life. Many of us are so fearful of God coming into our life and interrupting and showing us the sin that's in our life and then saying, oh my gosh, Jesus hates me. He don't want me no more. That's not how God works. He's saying, I'm coming to you out of love. Hey, look at this as in your life. Although I hate sin, I love you more. So I'm going to come alongside of you. I'm going to do what God the Father kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden for, sin. But I'm going to come alongside of you and cover you. Oh, my gosh. And as we walk together, I'm going to reveal things that you've been doing. And you're going to see them, and it's going to scare you. But guess what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus is right there with you. Lord, I don't know, but I believe in you. That's when he says, it's okay. I'm going to help your unbelief. I'll restore this in your life. I'll restore this relationship. I'll break this chain in your life. Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. Don't be too prideful to give God your doubt. Oh, stiff-necked generation. That's who Jesus was talking to. They showed it once again. The same people that would have been in the group shouting Hosanna would have been the same people that would have been in the midst of saying crucify. So do you want that to be your life? The moment when you can stand for Jesus, the moment when you can operate on Jesus' behalf and you remain quiet? You allow the naysayers, the lives, to live larger than you when you serve the God of the universe? Never. Never. Not at the intersection, church. Not if you walked in here today. Never. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How do we allow God to work on my unbelief? If it's darkness that causes us to stumble, have you ever tried to walk and you stubbed your toe in the middle of the night when you're trying to get to your baby and she's crying? Or maybe you just need a drink of water and you stubbed your toe. Darkness sometimes causes us to stumble. What do you do? Sometimes you just get a little nightlight. You don't need a lot. You just need a little nightlight, you know, just to allow you to see. You don't got to put on the full thing. I just need a little bit of light, and it'll get me through. I get to walk through. I can get my water. I can get Baylor, who slept two nights in a row without getting up. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. But how do we walk in the light? And don't you worry, I'm bringing us back into Ephesians. I told you, we're going to have some scripture today. He said, Pastor, how was you going to get Ephesians back in here with Palm Sunday and everything else? I don't know. The Lord kind of gave it to me, so hopefully it makes sense to you. So Ephesians 5. How do we leave the darkness? How can we say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help this thing that's been trying to plague me. Help me this darkness that's been... Let me understand what I can do. Paul says, I got you. Ephesians 5. Let me get where I'm. Therefore, get your notes out or just read the Bible. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Let's not skip past the word here. Be imitators of God, made in his image, made in his glory. We have the right to walk in that. Say, I have the right to walk in glory. I have the right to walk in authority. Because he's saying he wouldn't put in his word if he didn't tell us to be imitators of him. So as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So how do I get out of the darkness? Walk in love as Christ loved. But then he gets practical. How many of us like practical things? I know I got my brother Cody. He likes it when we get practical. Cody, raise your hand right there. Cody, if you want practical, Cody's got it. Cody want to know, but what does the Bible say about this? Give me the linear of how we're going to go through this right now. So I'm like, all right, Cody, let's just listen and see what does Paul got to say. It's okay. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. So Paul is addressing some darkness that the people of God have been walking in, so he must address it to reveal it to them to walk away from it, because it's not proper to be named among these things as the saints. Am I getting too long? Or is this fueling you up? If you raise your hand if I'm too long. All right, so I got permission. Okay, cool. I wasn't going to keep looking. And then he says, we got a problem with this one, church. Woo, this one is... Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Lord, have mercy. Which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Some of us like to have little side conversations and gossip and banter about certain people and about certain things. But the Bible says this isn't supposed to be named among us. God has called us to what? If you have somebody come up to you and talk to you about somebody, he's like, so what's our plan to actually restore and give thanksgiving for our brother and sister? Otherwise, it's gossip. If you're not talking about building somebody up, if you're not coming to me and addressing something to me that's an issue that you want to solve or that you want to come, don't even come with it. Don't joke about the inefficiencies. Don't joke about the things that's hurting somebody's life that's also affecting other people. Let's talk about a plan of restoration, and let's give thanksgiving to God for it. This is how we get out of the darkness. This is how we get out of unbelief. We start believing in a God who's a restorer and praying over that our brothers and sisters. Oh, man. Sheesh. You kissing me? All right. Are you kissing me, Judas? All right, here we go. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What is he saying? Anything that becomes an idol in your life and that you want, that's what the enemy wants you to do to stay in the dark. He'll put all types of things in your life for you to run to, all types of good stuff too. Have you searching for your husband or wife in all the wrong, looking for love in all the wrong places? You have you looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for finances in all the wrong places. You be watching Netflix and chilling more than you're getting in your word and praying, playing video games more than you're praying, and you wondering why you still feel like you're in darkness. Have you got to the man who's been sitting right beside you to show you the light? Or have you made other idols in your life? Don't worry. He's just revealing it so you can move away from it. This isn't a message that's supposed to make you feel guilt, but it is a message of conviction. Oh, faithless generation, conviction. Enemy says, guilt, don't even try anymore. Don't even try to be faithful anymore. Don't even try to have faith anymore. But Jesus says, oh, faithless generation, watch. And then later on in his word says, be an imitator. Like, isn't that so good? You got caught red-handed. But he said, it's okay. My grace and mercy covers you for that. Go and sin no more. And if you happen to stumble while you're running, guess what? That grace covers you. I'm still beside you. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. I'm just preaching the word of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were, what? Lord, I believe, but. Woo! Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, for once you were in darkness. This is all going to make sense to you in a minute. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. What do you mean? Try to discern. He didn't say, walk in full confidence and know exactly what you're doing. Try to discern. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Try to discern. Jesus, what do you want? I'm a child of the light, so God, what are you revealing to me today? I noticed yesterday when I made that mistake that it didn't feel quite right, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy, but God, how can I be better? I haven't really learned this faith thing. Teach me how to mature. God, I'm trying to go from the milk to the meat, and I know you're only giving me so much at a time, so just walk me through this process. And then he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is the part I love because it gets real greasy right here. You kissing me? All right. Take no part in the fruitful works of the darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that you do in secret. But it says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Is this what I've been talking about? If anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is now what? That addiction is now. That depression is now. That mourning is now. Oh, my goodness. Is that it? Therefore, I got more scripture right here, but I don't think I gave him more scripture. I got like 6 minutes. I'm just trying to give y'all the word of the Lord. That's it. It says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, sleepy. My brother Thaddeus used to call me in the morning. I swear we used to be racing on who got up first. Chelsea irritated because I'm over here yelling on the phone. He would call me. The first thing he would say is, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I don't know if it gets more practical than that. I don't know, church, I don't know if it gets more practical than that. Walk in the light. When we get real before God and we understand, he says, for we were all in darkness. We all had the patterns of darkness that created unbelief in our life. But the moment that Jesus steps in, he reveals those darkness. And although the pattern may be there, Jesus said, no. That's not you. Remember, that's what you used to be having a problem with. But now I'm with you. Now you're in the light. Now you walk in the light. Now you are the light. Be an imitator of me. Next slide. And if Ephesians 5 wasn't enough, He hit us with Ephesians 6. He put another chapter in there, Cody. Because he wanted to make sure you stayed strapped. Some of you don't know. He wanted to make sure you had the weapons of warfare that's necessary for us to live in belief. For us to live in the light. See, Judas didn't have the right weapons because he liked Jesus when he was doing the miracles. But when Jesus started spending the money like he didn't want to, he's like, oh yeah, I got to get this. I got to get rid of this dude. You kissing me? Betrayeth the Son of Man with a kiss. Because he didn't understand. Judas, Peter, you see this guy? Judas didn't understand. He was there for the miracles. He's a part of the crew. But he never got real before Jesus. He said, Lord, I understand, but there's some unbelief in me. So much so, he was so close with Jesus that he could show an act kissing Jesus. We can come in here and act so elegant. Wave our hands back and forth. I feel like Judas is this person like, Lord, why? Why? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing her to pour that out on your feet right now? That's expensive. He had something inside of him, some darkness inside of him, some money, some greed. Why do we know that? Because he betrayed the Son of God for money. And you saw the signs of his unbelief all the way throughout the story. Every time money was involved, Judas was like, that's too expensive. Why are you letting her do that? Let's take that from her, then sell it so we can have more money for the mission. Pause. You kissing me? You betray the Son of Man with a kiss? I don't want to betray God with a kiss because I'm not willing to be open and vulnerable about my unbelief. Come to church and worship on Sunday, but not get real before him, to where then down the road it leads me to be so angry with Jesus that I would rather betray him than to walk with him. But not the Intersection Church. We'll put on the whole armor. We'll walk in the light. Ain't no unbelief here. Full armor, Ephesians 6, and I just even broke it down for you guys because I knew I was going to be long-winded today. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you read Ephesians, I will implore you to read Ephesians 6. It breaks it down. This is how we walk in the light, being equipped for salvation. We can run because we got the belt of truth on. My heart is covered with the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are fitted with the gospel. Gospel that brings hope. And when the enemy is trying to fling his fiery arrows at me, I got a shield of faith. And not only do I have a shield, like I got to play defense, but just as Jesus was on that mountaintop, you can fight with the word of God. That is our sword. So I'm not going to sit back and just let you throw fling arrows at me all day. Guess what? I got this sword of truth that slices and it heals and it penetrates anything that the enemy is trying to reign over. Anything. It pierces and heals at the same time. That's the God we serve. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Teach me to walk in the light. Teach me to be the one to say, set him free. Give me Jesus. Teach me to walk in the light. Help me see that I have the full armor, full access, 24/7. Renew my mind. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Jesus. With all heads bowed. And if we could just, even if you mumble it to yourself or whatever, just anybody who's in here today, just speak this out with me. When we do it as a church, I think it makes that person that may feel uncomfortable or may whatever, it brings them in. It shows that we have thanksgiving for our brother and sister. Gratitude because we do it together. So just if you could say with me, Lord, teach me to walk in the light. Lord, teach me to walk in the light. In your authority that you have given to me, transform me, renew me, mature me. Son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Church, he's renewing you. He's making you new. Stand on that today. Amen. 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 Get excited here. There we go. Because he is alive, 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 alive. Yeah, there it is. Because he is alive, 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 alive. Cause he is alive, 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 alive. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Hey. Cause he is alive, 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 alive. Yes, he is. Cause he is alive, alive, alive. He's alive in you and me. Yes. Cause he is alive, 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 alive. Guess what? The tomb is empty. The tomb.